I'd ask that you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 6th chapter. We've been walking through the Lord's message to us, and we've been walking through the Lord's Prayer the last few weeks. And again, that's Matthew chapter 6, and I hope you start bringing your Bibles with you, or your tablets, or the Bible on your phone, whatever works. But hear the Word of God this morning. Chapter 6, verses 5 through the following verses. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners and to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask. This then is how you should pray. This is the pattern that I'm calling you to live with. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let's go before God today. Father, as we come before you, we just stand in awe of you once again. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet we have been learning that we are allowed to call you Abba. We are allowed to call you Papa. And Lord, we just come before you in these next few moments, and we ask that you would speak to us and minister to us afresh and anew. Father, I ask that the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, and that, Lord, you would be glorified, and Lord, I would become less. But Lord, would you come and speak and change and transform us? Would you give us ears to hear and a heart to respond and a mind to think through what your word is trying to speak to us about today? And Father, we just thank you for everything that you're going to accomplish this morning in us and on us and through us. And as we are dismissed, you are going to continue to speak to us in the days ahead. So Father, would you minister now in Jesus' name? Amen. This morning I want you to look at basically the 11th verse, just this very small phrase. It's the Lord's Prayer, or really the disciples' prayer. People had been coming to Christ and asking him how to pray. They noticed he prayed differently, and so he gives them this pattern. And for the last really month or so, we've been talking about it, and he says at the very beginning, our Father, we're allowed to call him Abba, Papa, Dear One. It's an amazing scene. But then he says, as you enter into his presence and declare that he is your Father in heaven, then the next idea is that we're called to worship him and respond to him, that he is holy and good and mighty and transforming and the King of the universe, and just glorious titles. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's literally coming before the Lord and saying, Father, we want your rule and your reign to expand in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. In fact, Lord, let your will be our way. That's our heart's desire. And so we've been really sort of wrestling through that as a congregation and as individuals. What does that look like? And is that really our desire in our heart of hearts? It's something that I think we need to daily come before the Lord with and simply say, Lord, am I walking with you? What would you like to do? I'm submitting myself to your desires even above my own, because I know that that's the best thing. And then there's this verse 11, give us today our daily bread. And it almost seems to me as I was reading that and thinking about it, that for a lot of us sitting here today, we're not even sure what that means any longer. In fact, most of us would probably think that's probably inappropriate in today's setting. I mean, honestly, most of us have more than enough. In fact, we should probably be consuming a little bit less. But why would Jesus give us this pattern? And I need to remind you that lots of people throughout the world literally are praying this prayer, and the expectation is they're living moment to moment and day by day. I remember a number of years ago, I went to Burkina Faso on a missions trip, and one of the things that we were going to talk to them about is long-term planning. Can you imagine? It's sort of the arrogance of an American. So we get to these little villages, and we begin talking to them, and the missionary was talking to them about long-term planning. And for most of us, long-term planning is 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Where do you want to be in 10 years? And many of the people, if not all of them, including the pastor, said, you don't understand. Long-term planning is, what am I going to feed my kids tonight? That was where they were at. Really long-term planning is figuring out what I'm going to do for breakfast the next day. In some places, our brothers and sisters in Christ are saying this prayer because it's a desperate prayer. God, you need to step in. I mean, just imagine on the surface of that in Burkina Faso, if you have three or four or five kids, only one of them is ever going to go to school. Imagine sitting down and looking at your kids and saying, because it costs so much, only one of you will get that privilege. And that one of you for the rest of your lives will take care of everyone else. Just imagine how this prayer seems so more relevant to them. And so I was thinking as I was reading this and studying this, why would God give it to us? Because you and I, we don't seem to have those struggles. And then it struck me in a very powerful way that I think the Lord is trying to teach us a couple of things there. But even before we get that, it says here, give us today our daily bread. And so on a very surface level, what was going on here is Jesus is saying we need to come before our Heavenly Father moment by moment and day by day and ask Him to give us the daily bread, the necessity of our needs. And that just doesn't mean the food that we eat or the resources that we use, but spiritually and emotionally and physically, everything that we need for the day, we are called to come before God in every moment of the day and saying, Father, would you take care of us? Would you provide for us? The second thing I thought about, how amazing to think that the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who keeps the stars and the sun all together turning and growing, the one who has done so many mighty and amazing things, who keeps the universes going, actually cares about us. Give us today our daily bread. I think there was almost that aha moment where a couple of moments ago we said, Abba, we need you, we desire you, we long for you, we want to worship you. And just a few more verses down, Jesus reminds us that He really is our Father in heaven. It's an amazing thought that the King of the universe would be concerned about the daily needs that each and every one of us have throughout the world. The other thing that struck me, it was really an affirmation of petition. See, I know some of you are raised in families and churches that told you it wasn't good to ask God for things or circumstances or situations. And a lot of us wrestle with that. We thank God for the good things that He's done, and we can pray for a whole lot of other people's needs and wants. But for some of us, this idea of asking God for something is just a difficult thing sometimes. And yet He's telling us, and Jesus is speaking to us, and He's saying, literally, it's okay. It's all right for you to ask for your daily needs. It's okay. It's all right for you to ask for the desires of your hearts. That's a good thing. And then lastly, it seems to me that this little simple phrase puts to rest the idea that God is only interested in spiritual stuff. See, I think sometimes if we're honest, we have this view of God that all He cares about, you know, is your prayer life or how many verses that you're reading throughout the day and coming to church and, you know, the spiritual things, the big picture things. And yet this verse says that you and I have the privilege of coming before our Savior and asking for that daily bread. Lord, can you give us what I need for this day? Maybe it's encouragement, maybe it's strength, maybe it's endurance. Whatever the case may be, we have the privilege of coming before Him. Because our God, I don't think God has this, there's spiritual things and physical things. I think scripturally for God, there's equality in the midst of that. It's all together. He doesn't break things up the way we do. But as I was thinking about that, I thought maybe something else could be happening. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus could be trying to get our attention. And maybe living in Greenville, Pennsylvania in 2017, God wants to remind us of some forgotten truth that so often, because we're Americans and because we're modern people and we rely on technology and all the other great things that our nation has to offer, we forget that God really is the source of everything. That He literally is the one that keeps us all moving forward on a daily basis. That literally the Word of God says every good gift comes from God. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that because of so much that we have. But do you realize that God doesn't bind himself to meet the needs of anyone in the world except those who trust in him? In fact, if you have your Bibles open to Psalm 37, just a few verses I wanted to share with you just for a couple seconds. 37, let me see if I can find it. It says this. In fact, 3 and 4, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Literally what's going on in those scriptures is the psalmist reminding us that God is the one who provides for everything that we have. Do you really believe that? Do you even believe Deuteronomy? Chapter 8, there's an amazing verse there, and I can remember in New Jersey, and I've told you about this guy before. He was a really successful businessman. He was brilliant. He was always getting all sorts of economic bonuses. He was just an amazing guy, but I can remember having all of these conversations with him because he really sort of felt that he was the reason why he did so well. He went to school. He studied hard. He was wise with his resources. He took care of things the way they should have been taken care of, and he said, this was the verse that always got me upset. And he would say, this is the verse that I'm just sort of wrestling with all my life. Because Jesus was talking in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he was telling the nation of Israel, if you remember the story, he's saying, you know what, guys, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to watch over you. And then he said, and when you get to the promised land and everything is good. Have you ever had one of those times where everything's good? The car's not broken down, there's money in the savings account, you're going to Dairy Queen for a Sunday 3 or 4 times a week just for fun. I mean, you know what it is when everything is good. And this is what he says. He says, you're going to forget who was taking care of you. And in verse 17, it says this, and you may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as of this day. Isn't that an amazing scene? Do you believe that truth anymore? In your heart of hearts, do you actually believe that it's God working in you and by you and through you that gives you all that you have? And when you find yourself saying to yourself, self, I'm the captain of my destiny. I'm the smartest one in the ship. I'm the one that does everything right. God owes me. He says, I want you to be a people that stop and remember who is the provider and the giver of all good things. I'm on the wrong scripture there. That was a little bit scary. Give us today our daily bread. No matter how modern we become, no matter how advanced that we are, no matter how wonderful our technology is, the scripture says that God is our provider. Just grab hold of that for a second. The scripture says, give us today our daily bread. Literally, Lord, we come before you and we recognize and honestly know that you are the one who takes care of us day in and day out. You're the one that gives us life and breath and being. You're the one that provides the spiritual strength to continue on. You're the one that takes care of our kids' college education or getting that car repaired or fixing the roof, whatever the case may be. It all begins with God. Just imagine if we began to honestly believe that. Until we realize that truth. And again, I want you to be challenged with this today. You may be sitting there thinking, I don't know if I want to pray this, or I'm not sure that God can take care of this, or I've even done this before and it doesn't seem as if it works out. It just strikes me, if you don't believe this truth, you will never find rest and you will continually be striving day in and day out for the basics of life. Because you have this tendency to believe, and all of us are in this boat, especially if you're a guy here today, we have this tendency to believe that we are the ones that need to take care of ourselves. I mean, just think about that for a few moments. It's all about us. We have this idea in America that, you know what, no one is going to look out for you, so you need to look out for yourself moment by moment and day by day. It's all about us, and yet the scripture says you work in vain because you don't understand who your God is. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, just think about that. What would it take for you to begin to believe that God would take care of you? Maybe you need to get a notebook out and just begin to write down, Lord, this is what I need, and this is when I prayed for it, and just watch and see how he will take care of you. And some of us need to change our views, because I can remember when Joyce and I were first married. Do you realize that people sometimes look at finances differently? And I'm going to sort of pick on my wife a little bit today, but see, Joyce is a really great saver, and she figures out everything, and it all works out together. And I can remember when we were first in ministry, we used to get some pretty sad cars, and it was sort of like this. Anytime there was savings, I used to joke with her that our car was attached to that savings, and when the savings went up, the car would begin to die. Have you ever experienced that before? You finally think you're getting ahead, and then suddenly, you know, the alternator goes, or the lights go, or the electrical goes, or you need tires. And I can remember for her, that was an upsetting thing, simply because she's a savings person, and when that savings is there, and she doesn't do this anymore, she's a lot more mellow about it. But when we were first starting out, we were getting $80 a week, and we tithed on top of that, so it was more like 60. And man, if anything happened, it was a big deal. And so she would, you know, we'd get the car repaired and we'd fixed, and we'd be driving away, and she'd sort of be like this. I knew it. And see, I was sort of like, woohoo, we could pay for it. We could pay for it. It's a good thing. And she would be looking at me like I was nuts. And sometimes you need to change your view of how God takes care of you, because of a lot of us, we don't like the way he does it, but he often will do it just that way. Hey, I took care of you. I provided what you needed. You need to celebrate those good things. You may not have two nickels to rub together, but God is good in the midst of it. I can remember, and I grew up in a family where my dad, I can remember in Ridgeway, they were in White Plains, they built this church. Imagine this, they had about 40 or 50 people in this little church, and they built a church for 700. I mean, can you imagine doing something that crazy? And it was funny because he said the first day that there was one of their elders was out in the parking lot showing people where they could park. I mean, they had 30 slots and they went to literally a parking lot for 600 slots. And he was out there with a flag directing traffic for 30 vehicles. You imagine that scene? Here we go. I mean, it was an amazing thing. And I can remember my dad telling stories. And some of you who were in this church from the beginning know those stories where they would praise God because at the end of the month they had paid all their bills and they had a nickel. And they were excited about that. And nowadays, if we paid all our bills and we only had a nickel, what would we be doing? How are we going to get out of this? There has to be something more there. What are we going to do? We're not going to be able to make it till the next month. In fact, we were in Maine. One of the funny things they figured out when we got there, one of the reasons why we got $80 a week is because they literally, one of the treasurers had figured out if everyone stopped giving tomorrow, they could only last 7 months on what they had. You're laughing. It was true. They figured and so I remember when the district came up and they said, why do you think everyone's going to stop giving tomorrow? And they said, well, we don't know. We're just thinking if they did. It never happened. But just imagine if we began to believe that God has promised to take care of us. And one of the things to see that promise fulfilled is to come before him and just simply say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. And we will begin to celebrate as you take care of us. I mean, what if we began to truly believe that? What if you even go smaller than that? If we just came before today, God, and said, give us today. Just give us today. I mean, one of the things that strikes me, do you know a lot of you and a lot of people I run into, they live not today, they live about yesterday. They live with, I should have, I could have, I would have. They're continually looking back. If I only made that decision, if I only took this thing, maybe I didn't pray hard enough here, or maybe if I made another decision, my kids wouldn't have done this, and you sort of wrestle with that continually. It doesn't say look back before you look at today, but so many people, they live in yesterdays. I would have, could have, or should have. If you talk to some people, it's all about tomorrow. They're waiting for tomorrow Tomorrow is going to be a better day. Tomorrow, all my dreams are going to be fulfilled. Tomorrow, the vision that God has given me is going to be accomplished. And they continually live there. Have you ever been there before? There's that continual expectation of the next day is going to be better. And you don't even consider living today. But Scripture says, even for us in America, give us today. Give us the ability to live in the present. Why do you think God would give us that truth this morning? Why would Jesus say, and this is how I want you to pray, I want you to be a people that live in the present, in the moment, so to speak. It's different from what we usually think. But then it goes a little bit farther than that, because have you ever noticed God's schedule of provision? If you look throughout the Scriptures over and over again, God's scripture, his provision for, or his schedule for provision is usually not like ours, is it? But according to him, his provision comes daily. I mean, think about that for a few moments. He might give you a great vision of what your future looks like, but you need to be mindful of the fact that his provision will come one day at a time. And if you want to argue with that with me, take a few moments, look back in the book of Deuteronomy, that Exodus story again. You know, they get out there. Moses had like a million plus people, and they're all are wandering through the desert, and God comes to them and says, this is how I'm going to provide. He says, I'm going to give you manna. And the people literally said, what on earth is manna? And he said, well, don't worry about that. And Moses says, it's the bread of heaven. It's going to be really good. It's going to be like coriander. It's going to be wonderful to have. They didn't even like that. But one of the things that Jesus, or the Scripture says that God did, he said, and I'm going to give you enough for today. It's an amazing thing. And he says, literally, every single day, you're going to get up in the morning, you're going to go out in your yard or in the desert, and you're going to notice this sort of bread-like substance on the ground, and I want you to pick up just enough for today. How many of you would be happy with that? Just enough for today. And in fact, he says, take an omer. Everybody got an omer. I'm not sure how much that was, but it was enough for them to live on for a day. And then he says, and when the Sabbath comes, that day of rest where you're not to work and you're to worship and celebrate and enjoy each other's company, I want the night before, I want you to take enough for 2 days so you can have that day off where you don't have to work or cook or figure anything out. And then he looks at them and he says, and the reason I am doing this is so that my people will learn to obey and also to trust. And you would imagine if God spoke to you that way. I mean, that's what he did. He literally spoke. Moses explained it to the people. This is, how many of you would say, hey, that's a really cool idea, I'll do it? See, some of us said we would do that because we were just sort of think we would. But one of the things that they found out is all the people, a group of the people, got together and said, you know what, there's really not enough. I don't want just one omer. I want to hoard enough for the next day. I may get hungry in the middle of the night. And they collected more. And the scripture says when they collected more, it got infested with maggots and began to smell. And they had to throw it out. Daily, he would provide for them so that they would trust in him and they would learn to obey. And I was reading through this scripture and I thought, you know what? Maybe Jesus is trying to impress upon us those same ideas. Because until we learn to trust that our Savior will provide for us, until we learn to obey what he calls us to do, we will never find his peace. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Give us today our daily bread. And that doesn't mean you don't save for the future. I believe that you take what some of the daily bread that he's given you, the provision that he's given you, and he's saying to set it aside for a future date. But what if we became a people that began to trust and obey what he's called us to do? And if you're finding yourself content in all that God is doing in your life, that is simply because you're beginning to believe in God's goodness and his faithfulness. And I think this is why Jesus gave us this scripture, that we're to be a people that delight in today. We live in the present. We can look forward to what God is going to do. We don't spend a lot of time looking back, but at the moment we recognize God is in our midst. What if we began to celebrate that? What if we began to truly believe that he would give us what we need moment by moment and day by day. Can you imagine the freedom that could come to us if we really began to rest in God's provision? If we really began to be a people that learned to be generous with others because we're the only people that recognize and understand that God has said, I'll take care of you, I'll give you all that you need if you'll trust in me, be generous and share the things that I give you. I think also, in the last point, I think God may be teaching us some limits. That we're a people that don't like to be limited in our dreams or our imaginations or even our resources. And God is literally saying, I long for a people that will walk with me daily in the midst of things. In fact, maybe a few weeks from now we'll talk about this next scripture, but it says this, therefore don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How often do we get caught up in the what ifs instead of simply coming before God at the beginning of the day and even at the end of the day and saying, Father, I trust you. Will you give me today and all the things that I need for the moment? And I will look for how you're going to work. See, I think what he's teaching us is that he wants a people to trust in that daily provision and then look for it and enjoy it when it's accomplished. I don't remember the book, but I know remember the author, Dallas Willard, put it this way, arrange your life so that you are experiencing deep contentment and joy and confidence in your everyday life with God. What if we began to be a people that simply rest in him in the midst of all of the things that are going on? And could get up each and every day and just come before the Father in prayer and say, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Maybe that's the simple pattern that Jesus wanted his followers to do. Could you do that today? Ask him for this day. Ask him for your daily bread. And then notice as he answers. Because I am learning, as I hope you are learning, is that God is always trustworthy. And he's waiting for a people to notice how truly good he is. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you that you are a God who is sufficient. And Lord, I come before you and I lift up everyone who's in this room. And Lord, you know the condition of their hearts. You know the condition of their homes. You know the condition of their resources. And we are told in this nation that we never have enough. We are told we are called to be survivors and preppers and long-term thinkers and Lord, just the continual pressure for more. And yet your word says that we are to be a people that literally come before you and say, Father, would you give us this day? Would you give us the necessities of life, the bread of life? And Lord, I believe that covers spiritually and physically and emotionally and in every other way. You have said you want to minister to us. You want to fulfill us. You want to take care of us as any good father would. Father, would you show yourself to be mighty in our lives even now? And we thank you that you have called us to be a people that pray for your daily provision and live with that expectation. May you bring all the freedom you long for it to bring in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Would you stand with us, please?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may He give you this day. May He give you your daily bread. And may, as your heads hit the pillow, will you rejoice in His provision. And all of God's people said, amen, and walk with Him.